This morning, I want to talk a little bit about a couple of thoughts that God has put in me, and I'm going to take you to some scriptures, actually two passages of scripture that display a principle that you see throughout the Bible. And throughout the Bible, throughout the history of God's people, from the time they left Egypt until the time they entered into the promised land, in all those times, there is always a place of leaving one season and entering into another season. It's just the way life happens. And I'm in a place where I'm entering, leaving one season of my life and my ministry and entering into a different season. And anytime the Lord begins to lead us to the next step, that's a word that came to me in the second spirit, second service. I felt like the Lord says there are many people that are in contemplating the next step about something in their life. If that's you, can I just see your hand? You say, I'm asking the Lord about this next step. I'm looking for a decision, a direction. Let me just see your hands. More than likely, just so we come into agreement with what God is saying to us, and so that I know that I'm at the right church and that I'm preaching to the right people at the right time. Because when we flew in to Kansas City and Sandra and I got off the airplane and stepped into the terminal, thank you very much, into the terminal, I said, man, for a moment there, we stopped. And I looked at Sam and I said, are we in the right place? Did I book the right flights? Did I book to the wrong city? Because everything had changed. All my landmarks had changed. All the familiar things. I remember, you get off the plane, you take three steps, and you exit to go to the luggage. And if you get out, you can't come back in unless you go through. So in my mind, I had a routine in my mind of what we were going to do and how we were going to catch the bus to get to the car rental and pick up our luggage and all those things. But for a moment there, I had to stop. And I had to recalibrate my bearings and try to figure out where I was, so that I could reach my assignment, which is to be here with you guys this weekend. And it was a confirmation to me of a season that God is leading us into individually, but also corporately as a church, where some of the old landmarks that we've set ourselves on, that we've gone to, some of our routines, some of what we've become familiar and comfortable with, God is going to prepare, is preparing us for some of those things to change. And he doesn't want us to get caught off guard when we get to a place and I say, man, am I in the right house? Am I in the right job? Am I in the right assignment? And in order to get there, to make sure that we're not confused and totally stop in our tracks, he has to bring some readjustment to us, and he's going to introduce, I sense this, Pastor Thomas, in between, sorry, he's going to introduce new landmarks. The old landmarks that we went by are still there, but he's just adding more landmarks. So he's not taking away from something. He's just adding to something in your lives personally and in my life. So let me take you to these two scriptures, and I want to share a couple of things with you. And then we're just going to ask the Lord to do what only he can do, is to minister to you, to allow the Holy Spirit to feed that hungry heart and the hungry soul that brought you to this place this morning. I know you didn't come to listen to a man. I know you don't come on Sunday mornings to listen to Pastor Thomas or whoever's preaching. I know that's part of it. But what we come is we come to be in the presence of the God who can in one moment say something to us that will cause us to refocus, that will cause the chaos in our life to come into order, that will cause the doubts to disappear, that will cause the fear to subside and give us courage in the midst of the fear to take the next step. How many of you say you're looking to take the next step? You're looking for the next step in your life. Well, this message is for you, but I believe that this is also for the church, Pastor Thomas. And so I want us to go together to Joshua chapter 3, where God's people were being led in a different season, and they had been led by Moses into out of Egypt and towards a promised land, and then now Joshua was leading, and they were at the brink of the Jordan River, right on the other side. They just had that one place, one more step to take to get to the beginning of the promises that God had for them. And so this is a story, if you'll follow with me, in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they took a step in the direction that they felt God was leading them to. He says, they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel lodged there. Everybody say lodged. We don't use that word a lot. In other words, they stopped and spent a few days there. Okay? It says they lodged there before they crossed over into the new. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people saying, when you see the ark, when you see God's presence moving forward, he says, set out from your place and go after it. And there will be a space between you. He says, but don't come near it that you may know the way by which you must go. They were looking for that timing and the next step. He says, for you have not passed this way before. Richard, you've not been to this airport before. You've been to this airport, but it's not the airport that you remember. And so sometimes God leads us into unfamiliar, familiar places. Come on, y'all didn't hear that. He leads us to unfamiliar, familiar places. It's the same place, the same mission, the same things, the same purpose, the same destiny, but it just looks a little bit different. And sometimes the landmarks change. And so he doesn't want us to get lost in the shifting because he still has a promise to take us to where he's going to take us individually, as families, as a couple, in our marriage, as a church, as a city, as a nation. And we need God in the midst of unfamiliarity to remind us of the familiar, the foundational things, which is Christ Jesus and his word, to get through the unfamiliar so that we can finish what it is that he started in our lives individually and corporately as a church. Amen? So he says, you've not passed this way before, so you're not going to have the same bearings. You're not going to have, your compass is going to be adjusted. There's going to be some things that are changed, but I still have the same plan for you. My mind hasn't changed about you. My plans haven't changed for you. I'm just causing you to stop, he says, and lodge and get redirected and recalibrate is the word that I have, which, by the way, is a message. The title of my message is, it's time to recalibrate. He says, because you've not been this way before. So he says in verse 5, sanctify yourself. In other words, separate yourself, prepare yourself. He says, and then Joshua spoke to the priest, and he said, take the ark and stand in the middle of that difficult place, and you stand in that place, and I will open the waters like I did the Red Sea. It's kind of the same, but it's going to be different, and you're entering into not the same place, but a different place, the next step of the journey of your life, your marriage, your children, your family, your city, your nation, and the nations of the world. He says, but if you'll stand in the middle of what I'm instructing you, I'll make a way where there seems to be no way, Pastor Thomas. And as you stand in the middle, he says, and the people will cross over on dry land. Sometimes, church, we have to be the ones that stand in the middle of God's promises on the foundation of Jesus Christ, so God will make a way for those that have still to know him to come in and enter into the promises of God, like the promises of God that we have received of healing and deliverance and freedom and salvation and eternal life. Amen? And so there needed to be a people and leaders that stood in the middle of it. And so it says that as it was in verse 14, that when the people set out from the camp to cross, to take the next step, he says, and they dipped their feet in the edge of the water. In other words, someone had to lead and take a risk to say, let's go for it. They were one step away from the next step. Man, I'm talking to somebody here today. I'm trying to. One step, one more courageous move, one more risky move, one more faith move, one step away. They'd walked so far, they'd come so long. They saw God provide. They saw everything that happened, their struggles. They complained and murmured on the way. I know not you, there's no complainers or murmurers in this church. This is for those people watching online and in other churches. I'm just telling you their story so that we don't commit the same error. But they walked through all that, and now that they were on the brink, and they suffered, and there was loss, and they wondered, are we ever going to make it? Did we make the right decision by stepping out? Did I make the right decision to serve and to give and to become kingdom-minded? Have I done the right thing? I've kind of lost my bearings. I once believed I was headed in the right direction. I once believed I was leading my family and my wife and the church, and now I'm just one step away from that I've yet to discover, but the landscape is changing, and God says, I don't want you to be confused because the old markers are changing, and I'm not changing those things that have been established. I'm just adding them to them because I'm getting ready to take you to the next step and take you to the land of promise that I told you I was going to get to. God's not finished with you yet. God's not finished in my marriage. I'm learning new things in my marriage after 42 years. I'm learning how to be a better man. I'm learning. Yeah, one guy said, thank you, Lord. Sandra said, yes, Lord, please don't stop working on them. Some of you are struggling. Say, man, I've tried, and one step away from the next step. And so it says that when they did that, he says that he made a way. The water stood still, and they crossed over to the other side. And in Joshua chapter 3:4, I want to remind you, he said, you've not been this way before. God's trying to take you somewhere that you've not been before. God's wanting to take this church to a place that it's not been before. And the only way to get there is to trust him and follow his order. There's three things that they did here. They lodged, in other words, they stopped, they prepared, they began to figure out where they were and what was going on. Just like at the airport, I stopped. I didn't want to lodge there too long because I wanted to come in and rest, but I had to stop and try to get my bearings again. I had to recalibrate the landmarks. I had to navigate the new ones, and then I began to remember some of the older landmarks as we started getting to the luggage area and then to the car rental place. But there has to be a season of lodging, preparing, and then listening to God to where he says, now sit out. And this is the thing, we're not good at lodging. I'm not good at lodging, which I'm not good at stopping. I'm in perpetual motion. My mind is continually working, trying to get to the next place, the next step, the next whatever, the next season. But sometimes we're so busy that we stand still long enough to hear God's instruction. That was the preparation. He says, sanctify yourself. He says, tell the people to stop and to prepare themselves because tomorrow I'm going to do great wonders among them. We're in the place of taking the next step. What we have to do, it's a time to recalibrate. It's a time to stop. It's a time to reflect. It's a time to stop from the busyness of the activity that's going on in our head. And when we have to recalibrate, let me read you that definition for that word recalibrate. Just to remind you, I know you know this, but let me remind you this. That word recalibrate means to adjust precisely for a particular function. In other words, I think, God, this is what you said. This is what I'm asking and believing for. Now I have to pause long enough so that I can hear you and let you make the adjust precise corrections or adjustments for the particular thing that you want to accomplish in my life. And so recalibrate means to adjust precisely for a particular function. It means to adjust, to adapt, to conform oneself as to new conditions or new regulations. And also it implies the adjusting of our vision that we can't see. Like when you get up in the middle of the night and you want to go get a drink of water and it's really, really dark so you can't see. I mean, I'm at a hotel room, so it's a totally different place than when I get up at home. And I knew there was a door over here that I could get to the kitchen to get water, but I turned one wall too soon and ran right into the wall instead of into the open door to get to the other area. And I was hoping hadn't woken Sandra up because I couldn't see clearly yet. So I was trying to go by memory, but all of a sudden, the longer that I, what happened is there was a recalibrating of my eyes and my vision to be able to see what I couldn't previously see so that I could make my way to the next step to get the drink of water that I needed. And it's time for us to stop and lodge in God's presence to recalibrate. It also means to achieve mental and behavioral balance between one's own needs and the demands of others. And I believe that God wants to say to me, to you, to this church, it's time to pause and let him recalibrate our mind, our behavior, and our vision. For our lives personally, for our marriages, for our children, our families, and our children's children, for the church. That's why it's important to connect, and that's why it's important to meet. It's important to talk and seek counsel about, we know God is saying this, but God is gathering us to say, okay, I want you to take enough time to think through this and hear the adjustments that I want to make because I know how to get you to where I'm wanting to take you in this season of your life. Philippians 2:5-8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. There are some things in my flesh that need to die in this season of recalibration so I can gain the new that God has for me. There are some mindsets that we have to have, the mind of Christ, his ways over my ways, his thoughts over our thoughts. And then behaviorally, we have to adjust how we're behaving. Some of you are real quiet. I saw one, don't nudge your husband or your son or your daughter. He says, what does this have to do with my future? Everything. Because it's not just bad behavior, it's just not behaving. It's not having any action. The scripture says that to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And there's some good things that we're supposed to be doing in this season, but we have to allow the Lord to define what is good for me in this season, what is good for my family, what is good for my marriage, what is good for the church and the community, and allow God to transform our mind and change our actions so that we can then continue to move forward as we wait and he adjusts our vision. So I want you to know God is adjusting your vision. God is adjusting or recalibrating your behavior, your actions, what you're involved in, what you're not involved in. And he's also adjusting our mindset, our perspective on how we see things. Y'all remember the story of David? Some of you, he says, you have giants in front of you. And just like the people in the armies of Israel, the giant, the obstacle looks so big that you can say, man, I can never get past this. That he's too big. It's too much. I don't have enough strength to get there. And that thing that's in front of me seems to be too big. So I just kind of pause and I don't think I can overcome that. I don't think I can conquer that. I don't think I can take the next step. But Rick said, he said, you know, from the army of Israel and the king, the giant was too big to defeat. But from David's perspective, he says, he's too big to miss. He is so big, I know exactly where I'm shooting this stone at. And it was very precise. There was an adjustment that took place. And he said, if God could kill a bear-sized critter, is that a word? Do y'all use critter in Kansas? If he could kill a bear-sized critter and a lion-sized critter, he sure can kill that big old ugly-looking critter that's in front of me right now. So listen, it's not that the giant's too big to overcome. It's that the giant's too big to miss. You trust God in what he's put in your hands, and you sling that, and that giant's coming down in this season of your life. He's going to fall because God, he included God in the battle, and it happened. And so he's readjusting our vision. He's readjusting our thinking. He's readjusting what we take action on. Sometimes we don't act and step forward because we're afraid. We're afraid to fail. We're afraid to misstep. And so we freeze. And by the way, that's why we have to stop and lodge. We have to stop. Listen to what it says in the book of Jeremiah 6:16 says, this is what the Lord says. Same principle. As he's taking them into a new season, coming out of bondage, coming out of confusion, coming out of not knowing what the next step was. He says, this is what the Lord says, stop. Everybody say, stop. He says, stop at the crossroads, at this intersection of your life, this intersection of your marriage, this intersection of your career, this intersection in the future of the church and the city and the nation and the nations that are to come. He says, stop at the crossroads and look around. Evaluate. Talk about it. And then he says, ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Ask for his way, the old godly principles. Everything, landmarks change, cultures change, but God's word and the foundation of his word remains the same forever. He says, ask for the old godly way. Ask for biblical counsel. What does his word have to say about this? But we're getting information from anything and everyone except the old godly way. It's not old-fashioned. It's not old school to get in God's word. God's word is alive and it's real and it's sharp and it's for me and it's for today and it's for my children and my children's children. And so we have to go back to those things that are firm and true and never change. In Hebrews, Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is the word. He's the word that became flesh in John chapter 1. He says, I'm still alive. I'm still building my church. I'm still building your marriage. I'm still building your city. I'm still building the nation. But you have to stop and ask for the old godly ways. I don't care what culture says. I don't care what they say on social media. By the way, you know this, not everything that you hear in social media is true. You have to be careful what you listen to and who you listen to. And so you go back to the old godly way. You go back to his word and you say, Holy Spirit, is this what you're saying? Is this true? What is the truth? How do we discern truth? Well, we rub up against it and we read it. And the scripture says that he sends the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us. And that's our compass. That's what we have to refocus on and recalibrate on. He says, stop, ask for the old godly way, and then walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. How many of you need some rest for your soul? Man, I can come pray for every one of us, beginning with me. We need rest for our souls. He says, come. Stop, man. When do we get too busy? When do we get so busy in our success to not make time for the Lord? I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about, listen, I'm always praying. I don't know about you, but I need God. After 30 plus years of ministry, I need him more now than I ever needed him. I'm realizing that everything, all my own landmarks, all my own, my best efforts, my the greatest trophies, whatever you want to call it, they're not enough to get me through the next season of change and the next step. And the more steps you take with God, the more you think you have to lose. You know, when we started and we just had a few people in the church or less than 100 people, well, I'd risk everything because, man, I had nothing to lose. Come on, some of y'all feel me this morning. When you're starting at the bottom of whatever in your marriage, when you're starting, whatever, you have nothing to lose. But once you feel like you've accumulated something or you have something, now you say, ooh, now I want to lodge and I want to protect what I've already discovered. And the enemy of the next step is the past step, especially if it brought comfort to you. You see, if you're out in the cold and you're climbing and you come to a warm place and you have a fireplace, and so you lodge and you're not cold anymore and you don't need the hand warmers anymore and you start taking your jacket off and you start warming yourself by the fire and it's supposed to warm you. A season of lodging and resting is supposed to bring comfort. It's a place of nourishment. It's a place of resting. But a place of lodging is not intended to be permanent. It's a temporary step to recover, to recalibrate, so we can get out and climb the next face of the mountain that's still left to be, climbed. And it gets gooder and gooder. I'm telling you, I'm going to make up my own words this morning. So it's not either or. Sometimes we're going so fast that we don't stop. And sometimes we stop because we're going so fast, but we don't ever set out again. So it's not one or the other. It's finding the wisdom from God to know when I'm supposed to lodge, ask, receive, and then when we're supposed to step out. If I step out too soon, I'm not going to make it. If I stay lodging too long, I'm going to get behind and I'm not going to make it. And so God is asking us as an individual in our marriages, in the purposes of God, the places he's leading us to. He says, stop just one moment. Quit overthinking it. But listen, There is a place of where we just gotta, we hear it and we don't believe it because we've prayed and we've asked and we've waited and we've trusted and we've stepped out in obedience. And it says, stand at the crossroads and ask. Let me give you an acronym for the word stand, and I'm gonna be done here. When he says stand, the one scripture says lodge, and then in Jeremiah it says stand at the crossroads, okay? And the word stand is an acronym for the word stand, S-T-A-N-D-S. See the truth. We can't be in denial. Where am I personally? How's my marriage doing? Which are some of the questions that I ask your pastor and pastor. How are you doing personally? How's your marriage? How's your family? And we have to, if there's something out of order, then we have to recalibrate and let the Lord bring adjustment. And every adjustment comes by the word and the spirit of God in our lives. You have to see the truth about your condition, about my condition. God, I'm afraid of this new season. For the last 30 years, Lord, I've been leading. Last 15, 16 years, I've been leading as a senior pastor. I know how to do that. I know how to be a husband when we had children, and I knew how to be a husband when we had adult children, and now it's just Sandra and I, and now we have grandchildren. Lord, I need to see the truth about where I am, and I need to see the truth about who you are. I'm not in denial about my weaknesses and my failures, my abilities, my capacities. I admit, Lord, that apart from you, I can do nothing, but your word says that greater are you that are in me than he that is in the world. So I can't go by what I see and I can't go by what I feel, but I'm recognizing my limitations, but I'm also recognizing the goodness and the greatness of who you are. I've got to see the truth about where I am and who I am, and then I got to see the truth of who he is. Then I have to take some risks. When we stand, we're evaluating, we're seeing, then we have to take some risks. We're going to have to decide to go for it because we know that He is for us. And if He is for us, then who can be against us? And we call that risk, but God calls it stepping out in faith. It says putting your toe in that water and crossing into the next step. We're waiting and asking God to give us the next step. He's asking you to step in the waters of His presence and His word and to take some risks. Well, what are my friends gonna think? Who cares? What are my peers gonna, who cares? I can't tell you how many people ask me, Pastor, why are you stepping back now? He says, why are you quitting? I said, I'm not quitting. Why are you resigning? I'm not resigning. I'm just stepping back because we're ushering in the next generation and leaders and pastors for the church, for the kingdom. And so my role is changing, but can I tell you, I don't yet know how to operate in the role that I'm walking in. But that's okay because I'm standing on a firm foundation, and the God that got me out of my addictions and the God that saved my marriage and the God that has healed me and the God that's freed me and the God that's provided for every moment of my life is the same God that's with me right here at this very moment as I fearfully, with fear and trembling, come to bring a prophetic message to His church. We got to get past our fear and step into faith. We got to take some risks. Don't lodge. Don't let a lodging place, a comfort that says the world behind me, the cross before me. Lord, I kneel, I bow my heart, and I lift my hands between yours and declare that I'm your man, oh God, again, from this day forward. Every day I stand and I bow my heart and I lift my hands. I say, God, I declare today that I am your man, Lord, no matter what. I don't know what it feels like. I don't know what is going to happen. I don't know how you're going to provide. I don't know. I don't have answers to all the questions. I don't know how that's going to affect my marriage. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it. I can't see it clearly. He says, stop. Ask. And I'll speak to you. And then walk it out. And you'll find rest for your souls. So I have to see the truth. I have to take some risks. I have to anchor myself to God. That's that firm foundation. So I anchor myself to God. And then never let fear make decisions for you. The fear of the unknown, the what ifs and the yeah buts. Well, what if I try and it doesn't work out? And what if I yield and it just turns out to my disadvantage? What if I do what your word is saying, Lord, and it doesn't work out for me? And we base and we work out of fear instead of faith. Never let fear determine your next step. And D, decide to obey God no matter what. No matter what it costs you. No matter what it looks like. No matter what it feels like. Pastor, why are you doing this in this season? But many people in the church, my elders initially say, why are you stepping out now? You're strong. You still got word in you. You still preaching. There's still anointing on your life. Why would you stop now? Because the Lord said so. Why would I adjust something in my marriage? Because the Lord said so. Why would I adjust something in my family? Why would make any adjustments at all? When you come into the presence of God, you just determined to say, because He said so. And I'm gonna be obedient. Thank you for being obedient to the Lord. It's cost you. Your obedience has cost you. But look, there's a great reward that's coming. And we're not obedient because we want a great reward. It just happens because that's how God is. I just want to tell you from everything that's in me, thank you for your obedience. Thank you for enduring the fight and the struggle. Thank you for enduring the misunderstandings. Thank you for not allowing what other peoples have thought and said keep you from trusting God and saying, no matter what, I'm going to be your man, Lord, every moment, every day of my life. Thank you for standing. Thank you for seeing the truth. Thank you for taking risks. Thank you for anchoring yourself to God. Thank you for not letting fear make decisions for you. And thank you for deciding to obey God no matter what it costs you. And in that place of standing, in that place of rest, man, I don't want to. I'm just going to say it this way, and I'm not going to point people out because I don't want to embarrass anybody. And God doesn't want to embarrass anybody. But there's quite a few people here that have lodged so long because of the comfort and the provision and the things that it's brought to you. That you've not been willing to take a risk and put that toe in the new season. In that change of thinking, behavior, and vision. You've gotten so comfortable in what was, what is, because what was before was so hard. You say, well, I may not have all of the promise, but at least I have some of it, and at least I'm warmed here in this place of lodging. Some of you have been in a place of lodging too long, and it's time for you to step out and move forward and take a risk again. Some of you are so busy that you wonder if you're making progress, and the answer is no, you're not making progress because you're so busy that you're missing the progress that God is trying to lead you to. So some of you need to not step out and take a risk. Some of you need to slow down and lodge for just a moment and ask Him for His instruction, His direction in your life. One more thought. Don't play not to lose. Don't play not to lose. Well, what if I step back this way and I lose everything that's been accomplished in my marriage, in my ministry, in my... So I'll just, like Gideon, get in the wine press and hide the harvest that I do have because the enemy has come before and stolen the harvest. So I'm just protecting what I do have. I'm content. But contentment, as Pastor Thomas says, turned to complacency, and we're missing something that God is trying to get us to. And so He comes to take away fear, and He wants to replace it with faith. To see Him as still being able, the one that's not going to let you down. See Him as the one who is still your healer and your deliverer and your humanity when we make mistakes and we give up and the mistakes cause us to lodge. But we lodge in the wrong places in our thoughts. We lodge in dark places and we can't see past where we're trying to get to. Don't play not to lose. God wants His church to play to win. I believe God's going to download a new game plan and strategy to reach Lawrence, Topeka, Kansas City, and the rest of the world. I believe He's going to download a strategy for your next step. But we have to consecrate ourselves and position ourselves and stand still long enough to receive the game plan. And after receiving the game plan, He's asking us to execute and step out in it and do it. God's not finished with you yet. God's not finished in our marriages. He's not finished in our families. He's not finished in our churches. He's not finished in our city and in our nation. But He's asking us to pause, ask, and then do what He asks us to do. You know what's the problem with sometimes doing what He asks us to do? We don't see the results that we think we're supposed to be getting. And so we think, well, I must have missed God. No, in the meantime, He's just working something. He's working something. And that work is, you're going to have to trust me at a different level. Because where I'm taking you is past just this. It's to this. But we have to trust Him in this, what we may call a small thing, until it becomes that. Because our place is to be obedient to do this. He's the only one that makes anything or anyone successful. And God wants you to be successful in your marriage. God wants you to be successful in your life. I pray that this is an encouraging word. What it says to me is that God's not finished with me yet. And even though I'm not clear, He's clear. He knows the plan and He's wanting to lead me to it. But I must pause. So this is what I have to say. Prepare now for what's coming. Receive the next strategy for the next step in the game plan. And then prepare to execute it. I saw a banner over this church. And the banner that I saw over the church said, God is mighty to save. And I believe from the very foundation of this church that God has been mighty to save. Yes, salvation into eternal life as he draws people. I believe that means a harvest is coming. A harvest is coming in this city. A harvest is coming in this region. A harvest is coming in the nations, whatever he calls you to. Because not because we got the right program or not because we got it all right, but it's because he's declared himself to be God who is mighty to save. And that this is a place, a foundation, a church that will be like a launching pad. In my mind, I used to say, it's from a place of mending to a place of sending. And God says, you'll touch the nations, but the nations will come to you. And this will be a place of sending. It'll be like a place of nucleus from where the gospel and the message of God is mighty to save will be spread in our homes, in our community, in our schools, in our churches, in our nation, and in the nations that God allows us to touch. And I believe that is the anointing and the mantle that has been and continues to be in this place. We just have to get our bearings again and remind ourselves that we are on a mission, that we are here on purpose for a purpose, and God comes to minister to us so he can minister through us. That when we take our eyes off of ourselves and we put our eyes on him and the kingdom, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he then says he will take care of everything else. He will provide for every other need in our lives. So this is what I want to say to you. After I saw that large banner over this church that said God is mighty to save, he says, tell the people that it's time to surrender again. From their thoughts to my thoughts, from their ways to my ways, from their plans to my plans. Tell them it's time to recalibrate. Tell them it's time to stand, to see the truth, to take some risks, to anchor themselves to me, to not let fear make decisions for them, and to decide to obey me no matter what. Tell them that I can still move mountains. There's a mountain in your life. He can still move mountains. What seems impossible, he says, tell him I can still move mountains. Tell him I'm still in the fire. Tell him I'm still in the lion's den. Tell him that I still walk on water. Tell him that I still roll away stones. And tell him that I still make a way where there seems to be no way. I've parted waters before and I'll do it again. Tell him I won't let them down. Tell them they can count on me. Tell them to take their trust and hope off of everything and anyone else and put their hope and trust in me.